What's going on, everybody? It's Rob Marchand, your host of Hunting Out Loud. Going to be talking with Nick Basil today. It's been a while, Nick.
Yes. Probably late October, maybe.
All those rants I went on, I thought you done jumped ship like everybody else.
No way, man. I appreciate a good rant.
I've been kicked out of the Big Buck Club.
I don't want to be a part of it.
That's what I was thinking. It's all about hunting, ain't it?
It is.
Well, we're not going to go down that road. Right this second, we'll be able to get there then.
It'll turn back into it.
Probably.
Sure.
But anyways, hey, let's, we haven't talked to you since you and your brother went out to Kansas. Let's hear a little bit about the Kansas trip.
Well, it was semi-successful. I mean, my brother killed a good 130-inch 11-point.
Mm-hmm.
Second day we were out there, but kind of ran into a little bit of obstacles with some of the places we'd marked on the maps and, a lot of the places I picked to hunt were, we're doing all public land, walk-in areas and stuff. And a lot of the places I picked to hunt were marked huntable on maps. And I'd get there and they were 30, 45 minute drives. And, sometimes I get there and maybe they were only open to turkey hunting or maybe they just weren't open anymore at all.
Yeah.
Because what it is walk-in hunting areas are areas that the state leases from private landowners so they can pull them, after the season or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the state just hadn't taken them off the maps. So.
Yeah.
That kind of made it a little difficult on me because I think I had five or six really good hot spots I thought were going to be killer. And I think out of the five or six, I think one of them was huntable.
Right.
So I started scrambling and trying to find different places. And, actually had a good encounter the first morning. I was out there with probably what I could tell mid 130s, 140s type buck.
My God, that ain't big enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm smoking that one, I promise.
I hear you, bro.
I mean, he could have been, I'd be honest with you, a doe come running in. I was actually filming some turkeys in front of me. And, they were point blank, like 10 yards away. So I was trying to be still. And then I heard some commotion behind me. And I thought, oh, man, it's like, here comes a bobcat or a coyote or something that's going to attack these turkeys. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Well, when I looked down, it's a doe. She's standing right up underneath of me. I thought, well, I put the camera down and grabbed my bow, and I thought, man, there's got to be a buck behind her chasing her. That's why she come running in here like this. Well, I sat and watched her for 10 minutes and looking around and nothing, never seen anything. So hung my bow back up and got my camera out and started videoing them, the turkeys and the deer. Well, she got back behind me and was starting to kind of go back the way she came from. Then I was watching her and she kind of threw her head up, started staring in one direction and pointing her ears. And I thought, I know what that is, And we've all seen that, but, so I started looking over in there and I could see about 35 yards through some brush, just a massive body. I mean, the body, it was all obstructed, but I could tell big outline of a deer, big head. I mean, everything was big. So grabbed my bow again. And, basically if he had took one more step, I had a perfect opening, one more step and I could have killed him 35 yards. But instead the doe kind of kicked back up into the field and he took an angle straight away from her trying to cut her off. And all I could see was just rack running away from me. And I mean, I got a little bit of it on video and I wanted to throw some stuff together and have kind of like a day by day hunt, but man, it's so hard out there to get up in a tree and one to get up in a tree out there is almost impossible. they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm. You had your hands full. Well, you learned a lot and you plan on going back next year.
Oh yeah.
So there was something that, we was chatting back and forth as you was out there and, there's something you brought up, and of course I follow several other people at Hunt Kansas. Seemed like it was pretty slow at the time that you was out there anyways.
Yeah.
And one thing that you'd mentioned was the corn was still up. It hadn't been cut.
Yeah, the corn and the Milo both were still up. So
that kind of is a main bedding area, I guess, from what the, the regulars, were telling you.
Yeah. We actually stayed right beside a sporting goods store and I got to talking to the guy that owned it quite a bit and just other people coming in and out of there because they also serve food and stuff and talking to them and they said that a lot of the hunting where we've been so wet this year, they weren't able to cut a lot of the standing corn and the Milo and those deer were just basically living in it. They didn't have to come out of it because usually they're going to be traveling the woodlots because that's their cover.
Yeah.
Well, right now they can stay in those corn fields and those Milo fields, eat, sleep, chase does, do everything they need to do inside those fields. So I think that slows down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The place where my brother killed his at, there was no standing food anywhere close.
Mm-hmm.
And really we didn't put the pieces together enough to when we should have done it a little earlier, but it took us a little while to put the pieces together and be like, okay, we need to get away from the standing food and start focusing on these other little areas. But
and you'll know to do that next season.
Yeah, hopefully.
You'll be ahead of the game a little bit.
Exactly. Yep. That's what we're hoping.
So there's definitely giants out there. I've seen several, some pictures, you know, like several people off social media.
Well, that's, I mean, like some of the videos I took and sent pictures of you just driving around and seeing, I mean, there's a good deer. There's good deer out there.
Well, you know, like you're saying, just that cover, that goes for here too. Places that I've hunted, some of the public areas that you're familiar with, if the corn's still standing, it makes it tough. I mean, there's no sense of them leaving.
Yeah. In Ohio, I've never really, if I do have any kind of private or anything, it's usually pretty small and there's no crops on it. So I ain't never dealt with it a lot, but there was one particular farm that I used to hunt a lot. And it was my main place I hunted. And any time they had standing corn, season was real slow until they got it cut.
Until they got it cut and it was on fire.
And I'm not as well versed as what some of the guys in the Midwest are. The guys that hunt in Iowa and Illinois, where that's all it is fields. But it seems like them fields are up. You ain't seeing much until they come down.
Well, it's, you know, like I say, you got thousands of acres to hide in. There's no supplies.
I know some of the big experts, they'll say that bucks won't bed in corn because, you know, for whatever reason, I don't, you know. But I'm a firm believer when they'll spend a lot of time in there.
Well, you know, I'm not hunting out in Kansas or nothing, but I've seen them bed in corn. This one right here. Was bedded in corn up in Kentucky, a big huge corn field. Yeah, he was. I assume he was. He came out of there.
But nothing else, he was spending time in there. I mean, you can't say anything in corn field. You
know? I've seen him come out of there two or three times before I finally got him with a muzzleloader. So I shouldn't even mount him. I killed him with a gun.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Shame on you.
Shame on me.
I can't believe you do that.
I'm telling you, I'm going backwards, man. I'm out of the big buck club for sure. I'm telling you.
You can only be famous if you kill one. You got to kill at least a couple 200-inch deer. And you got to do it with a napped broadhead and a handmade bow, I think.
Just 170 is like just one world championship.
It's basic anymore.
I'm trying to compare myself to somebody. I'm better than Charles Barkley anyway.
Maybe his golf game.
His golf game. I don't even know why I even brought him up, but I was watching something earlier. I better not even go there. Man, I got right there. I'd like to have Charles Barkley on this podcast.
I'd be interested to hear what he says.
That's the whole point of this. The name is Hunting Out Loud. It's for everybody. Just speak their mind. Speak their peace, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and kind of when we started this, and you have several different ideas of what you might do. For one, it's just a hobby for us.
Yeah, it's just more or less, it's just us getting together, hanging out.
But
telling stories.
You know, the more people I meet through this, the more I enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have John Collins, a lot of you here in Kentucky, or all across the country, know who John Collins is. I mean, he's known being a predator hunter. And, you know, just get to talk to him and all the people we've talked to already. We just started this thing in May.
Yeah.
It's just keeping it a platform for, you know, the everyday average outdoorsman. Yeah. And hopefully we can all pick up a little something here and there off everybody.
Yeah. Well, before this podcast, I'd met you, but we never talked hunting or anything. We met each other in passing a couple of times. Never knew you and hunted. You know, I mean, we never knew each other before this. And
it's so much
I never
fun.
Really knew Kyle. I mean, me and Kyle talked about, you know, some film and stuff back and forth. But now, I mean, we talk all the time about, you know, we're almost daily, you know, all of us do.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I'm talking to people from Alabama to Georgia and to Canada.
Yeah.
It's way out west.
It's crazy the connections you make just for people that love that have the same passion as what we do.
Have the passion for the sport. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's a division in our sport, Nick. It seems like we're our own worst enemy in anything we do as humans.
Yeah. Well, I think, if we're going to be, I'll just go ahead and say it, but if there's, to me, there's guys that kill big deer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say anything about it. They got a whole room full of big deer, and nobody ever knows about them. Yeah. We all know a guy that's like that. Mm-hmm. I know an old man that's like that. You got the nowadays hunter that wants to kill big deer. He's got to take 400 pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Got to hashtag 25 things. Got to take them for each sponsor. You have those guys.
Well, you kind of get sucked into that.
Well, you do.
With
then,
social media.
And then you got the guys that want to be the social media guys. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays to be a professional hunter, all you got to have is an Instagram account. You know,
it's I think it's caused, well, you know, let's go back to this podcast. Now, when we started this, like I said, I wanted to be about the everyday average outdoorsman. But when you first start it, you think, well, maybe I can get some sponsors to help because it, you know, even this is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
To do some of the things that we want to do.
Yeah.
And if we're going to travel and stuff, I mean, it is expensive. Some of the giveaways, you know, we have people give us stuff and we give it away. So, but then it becomes, you know, and everybody loves big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people that shoot does and the small bucks,
yeah.
And you all know what I think about you all. I love you. I mean, because we need all the hunters we can get in outdoors. Enjoy it. You'll come up when you're ready.
Yep.
You, when you feel like shooting or waiting on bigger bucks, you'll start shooting and waiting on bigger bucks. And it's a challenge. It's not easy. But it's almost like I can only talk to the big buck hunters. Start talking to people that's not in the big buck hunter. Oh,
yeah.
Good God. We're going to have to get away from Robbie. We're going to have to distance ourselves away from him. Well, that's not the way I'm built because I look at everybody. We're all hunters.
Oh, yeah.
We all love the sport and I want to promote the sport.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be promoting. I don't want to promote products.
Yeah.
I have nothing against it, but me just saying that right there for the guys and the women out there that do promote products, that's not a kick or a knock on them.
Oh, yeah, I have. I mean,
I feel like some people take it that way.
If that's the route you want to take,
yeah,
and you love it, and that's what you want to do,
yeah,
more power to you.
Yeah.
But if you also, in the same regard, if you love shooting the first buck that comes by you every year because he gets your blood pumping, to me, it's the exact same thing. You know, if you get excited about killing that, a 6-point or a 4-point spike, I don't care what it does. Mm-hmm. If you get excited about killing that, kill that. The same, if it gets you as excited as what it does for those guys killing 180-inch bucks every year and waiting them out and playing the cat and mouse game
and that's hard.
Buck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you like doing, then whatever gets you excited and gets you wanting to hunt.
But I'm telling you, and I know this because I have some friends that I love that I see get drug into that thinking they have to be on one side of, man, if I'm on this side, someone sees me, it's going to put a niche in my armor or something like that.
Well,
now, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly.
And some of y'all out there listening know what I'm saying.
I know exactly
now,
what I'm saying.
And I'm going to tell you where it's in Nick, I know you're no-nonsense type of guy. And they say our numbers are dropping.
Oh,
and when I look at the numbers, I mean, the sources that I'm looking at, they are dropping.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, we have anti-hunters against us. We have a lot of different things against us nowadays.
Yeah.
And we definitely cannot be fighting against each other. And I'll tell you, and you brought up and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to bring something up. You brought up everybody wanting to be you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be a professional. You can share your buck pick. You don't have, if you're out there shooting a buck to try to meet other people's standards, you need to reevaluate what you're doing.
It can't be fun. It can't be fun to do that.
I was telling you before we got on the podcast, when I took my son the last day of youth season, and we'd seen a 140-inch deer. And then we come out of the woods, and there's a young man there, 20, 21 years old or whatever, and he had heard of me through seeing me on social media and seen some of my good bucks in the podcast. So I guess he kind of looked at me as a pro or something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was good that he looked up to me like that. But he felt the need to tell me that, you know, he didn't kill a little 130, 40-inch deer. And I was like, you don't kill 30 and 40-inch deer? No, he said, I'll let them young ones grow. He said, it's the only way we're going to have big ones. And I was like, well. And then, if you're listening to this, buddy, I said, this is not a knock on you. It's just something I want to talk about.
Generally, when people tell me that, I just assume they don't know what 130 or 40 inch deer
is. I'll get to that. So I assume, well, this kid must have killed some big monster bucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you kill. But he, I said, well, let me see a picture of your bucks, what you got. I mean, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows me a picture, and no knock on you, kid. But he said, this is what I kill, 100, and, you know, I weigh on these 160s. Well, you know, I'm just telling you. I don't care about inches, and he should be proud of that deer.
Yeah.
But it was not.
Yeah.
It wasn't even 130 or 40 that he said he wouldn't shoot. And there was an older guy there, you know, and that was his mindset. He felt, and I was like, I didn't even know what to say to him. Yeah. You don't have to see.
You don't have to justify your kill. You don't have to justify
anything. I mean, I don't know in his mind if he really believed that or he was trying to look big in front of me. Yeah. I don't give a crap.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm saying
all like, I care about is that I love to see people with a passion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a singer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I used to run the bars and I'd go watch these bands,
mm-hmm.
and I would see some of them. They wasn't very good singers.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what,
they were loving it.
They loved it. They had a passion for it and it made me enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they wasn't very good at it.
Yeah.
But it just seeing someone doing it for the right reasons, for the passions. Yeah. And we do have a division. It's, you're on one side or the other. That's just the way it is. And I don't think it's good for our sport.
Yeah.
And I want to promote our sport. I don't, you know.
I'm saying, but I guess basically what I'm trying to say is I don't have nothing against the guys that want to be on promotional staffs or whatever.
No.
You know, I don't want, if that's your dream, chase it, please.
Absolutely.
But also don't put down anybody else while you're chasing that. You don't have to step on other people while you're trying to prop yourself up to. Yeah. You know, it's just.
If you love hunting, if you have a true passion for hunting,
yeah.
that's what we need to be promoting.
It is, yeah.
We have to promote
yeah.
our sport because we need all the numbers we can get. We need to encourage people to hunt.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I shared a picture. I've seen it, you know, well, I accepted everybody in the world, or I friend of course everybody in the world on Facebook because I like to keep up with all the hunters. I love seeing
all the same way.
People
yeah.
all over the country and all over the world. And I love seeing the posts, and 95% of the people on there are just passionate like we are.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel the same way. But you got 5% that are know-it-alls,
nope.
of course. And you're going to have that in anything.
Anywhere you go, and if we were playing checkers, you'd have the same
thing.
Just
not, you know, and that's just the way it is. But it gets on my nerves. You know, I shared that I can't remember that post. I shared it on our page right there. That guy, he's a guide, and he had seen some young kid. I don't know if you've seen that, mm-hmm. but I can't even think of his name right now, but it's on our page. But he had seen some young kid post a picture of some of his bucks he killed, you know, basket rack bucks, young bucks.
Yeah.
And people had got on there and started shaming him. Well, this guy's a guide,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't bragging on himself, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's killed some big bucks.
Yeah.
Elk and mule deer and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Just like us, you know, it bothered him to a point. He knows this is a new hunter that we need in the woods. These yeah. guys shamed that kid to the point that kid took his pictures down.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so pissed that guy off. So he went on a rant, someone like I usually do.
Yeah.
And, but he worded it really well.
Yeah.
And he said, why do you feel a need to try to hunt to someone else's standards?
Yeah.
And why are you apologizing? What are you apologizing
for? It's never ending.
Why though?
It's the never ending problem. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer for it because I just don't think that way. So it's hard for me to
understand why somebody would say that.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't.
Now, this podcast is for informational. We've had some guys that hunt big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing.
Oh yeah.
That's where I'm at right
yeah.
now. I mean, what I consider a big
yeah.
buck, that's where you're at.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that's why you're still holding the tag,
yeah,
because you didn't shoot a basket rack.
I still have 3 tags in my pocket.
That's where you're at. But
yeah.
I guarantee you, if someone shoots a basket rack, we're patting them on the back. Now, if that guy comes to us, and he shot a basket rack, and he says, you know, I want to start killing bigger bucks like you guys.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pass up
yeah.
the smaller deer. Now, when they come to you, we want to be educational.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you don't have to sit there and force it down their damn throat
yeah.
and run them out of the sport.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I've got friends of mine that have, I mean, that are 22, 23, 24 years old when they first started hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And by now, I mean, when they first started hunting, they thought they had to kill 150-inch deer. I mean, they weren't wow. passing.
Well, you heard that story. I just talked about that kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the TV, well, for one, TV hunters are, you know, they always forget to mention that where they're hunting at, or
yeah.
very few of them are hunting places like what we hunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're seeing guys shoot, you know, passing up 130, 140 inch deer you know, waiting on a big buck. Well, that's not reality. You know what I mean? It's just not.
You know, just like that kid right there. I mean, I've killed 170s, 150s. You know that. You look at some of them right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I killed 135 incher this year, and I was doing somersaults out of that stand. I couldn't get to him fast enough.
Yeah, I'd be doing the same thing right now.
And the picture I posted earlier, I posted of some of my young buck basket racks and stuff I killed when I was young. And I'll guarantee you the feeling that I got with my biggest buck was no better than the feeling I got with them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the evolution of a hunter.
It is, yeah.
And we got to let people evolve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And when they're ready, they're going to listen to a podcast that we're talking about managing big bucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some places, some people are listening to this, they don't even have any big bucks to hunt. You know, I mean, you look at some of these, I mean, guys in Michigan, if they see, I mean, obviously some places in Michigan, I'm talking, you know, but, or you look at the New England area, they're not going, they see a 120 inch buck and it's a giant.
Well,
you know,
I've seen a guy in Vermont that killed one, you may have seen his post, and I mean, he said, I'm so grateful for this buck, he's a little buck, four pointer or something like that.
Yeah.
And he did not apologize.
Oh, I did see that one.
He was proud of that buck, and man, I was jumping around, I was clapping my hands, because, you know what? That man's passionate for our sport of hunting. And that's the type of people we need in there. And when we talk about this, we're not busting y'all's balls, the guys that hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Bucks. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And, but it's the guys, and to be honest with you, and those guys that do hunt the mature bucks, those guys that manage their land, that truly do. And they want to teach management.
Oh, yeah.
But they do it in the right way, in the proper way. I don't ever see those guys making the negative comments.
You really don't.
It's the little wannabe guys.
Every
time I'll go to their page, because I'm like, I'm going to blow this guy up right here. And I go to their page, and they ain't killed nothing themselves.
Well, they've got, and like you said before, they have 12 promotional staffs. People get it wrong. Pro doesn't mean professional. It means promotional.
It's promotional.
That's the thing.
And then we need to promote our sport.
Instead
of all the other bull crap. And I'm telling you right now, there's people that started listening to this or would come on this. I guarantee it won't come on now because they're like, oh, they're knocking sponsorships. We get on that. Our sponsors are going, it ain't nothing about that.
I'm not.
We're going to promote this. We got to promote the sport, all of us together, seriously. And honestly, people that do that, they ain't gonna listen to this anyway, so they're gonna turn it off because they're right.
Yeah, cause it's gonna hit a little too close to home for them.
But I will say, for you all that second guess yourself about posting a picture, to be honest, that's on you all.
Yeah.
If you're scared to post your picture because you think it's not big enough or up to someone else's standards, you know what? You can't control other people. You know, share it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's weak.
Yeah.
I'm just straight up telling you it's weak. And I want to tell you another thing. The worst argument, every time I see one of these arguments, the first thing you guys that kill smaller bucks.
I already
know
what you're going to say.
You say you can't eat the rack. Well, that's a bad argument because the guys that are arguing against you are wondering why you shoot something with a rack if you can't eat the rack. So
exactly.
Just don't even explain yourself. Just say, I'm proud of this buck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud of this doe. Yep. It's mine. And get the F out of here if you don't like it.
Pretty
much. That damn simple.
I'm the same way you are with that.
So there shouldn't even be no argument.
Yeah. I don't understand it, but.
You don't need to be in the big buck crew.
Yeah.
Or the big buck circle. And there's a little circle there. You know, I'm out of it. You know, I've done jump ship and all that damn thing.
I think you got to kill big bucks again that though, I'm out of it.
Well, you've killed big bucks.
It's been 2 years since I've seen one.
I'm going to tell you something. Brandon Phipps, you know, has another one that I've met through this.
Yeah.
And you haven't met him, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay, listen. That guy and everybody we've met has been great.
Yeah.
And Brandon, you know, I just love watching him. He's with Team Radical. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
His Kentucky buck from this year?
His Kentucky buck this year, you know, was a 160 inch buck.
Yeah.
Brandon, and I've said it before on some of these episodes, you know, Brandon come back over to go live with us here on this show. And when he come over, I'd asked him, you know, what Ohio was looking looking like. And he said, first 125 inch buck I see is getting an arrow. Well, guess what? It did.
Yeah.
And when he called, text, he was excited about that as he was with that 160 inch buck from what I seen, because he just loves, he loves to hunt.
I'd be
he
the
loves
same the
sport.
Way.
And he wasn't apologizing to nobody. He had a big smile. He was, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And, man, I just loved that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Perry Bailey, you know, he killed that buck in West Virginia. It wasn't no 150 or 160 inch deer. Tickled to death is a hell of a deer. He hunted his ass off for it. And that, I just like keeping up with guys like that.
Oh, I do too, yeah. I'm the same way. I mean, local guys getting it done, you know, just, that's awesome to me. I love it.
Well, I mean, they don't feel like they have to, and, you know, these guys, I'm just using them for example. I hope you all don't mind, but I just know both of these guys have killed big bucks.
Oh, yeah.
They've killed some big bucks.
Yeah.
But listen, they're out there to hunt. If they see something they like,
yeah,
they're not sitting there thinking, you know, I've killed a 150 inch buck. I can't go down and kill this one. What will people think of me?
Yeah.
They are not, they could care less. That thing gets their heart rate pumping. They think it's mature. It's getting shot.
Yeah. And maybe that's why I like them, because I'm the same mentality. I mean, if a buck's coming in and I'm like, oh, well, this is him.
Yeah.
You know, I've never killed not one buck and ever been like, I wonder if he's 140 or if he's 145 or if he's 150. I've never done that. I've seen shooter. That's what I think. So I see him, shooter. Okay. Get my shit together. Let's kill him. You know, that's me.
That's hunting, man.
I
mean, your video was proof of what it's all about.
Yeah,
the excitement. You said it has a 129 inch buck.
Yeah.
You can care less. And that's a great buck.
Man, I'll kill a deer every day. I still will.
I mean, I don't even know what a big buck is anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
Whatever.
I know what he is to me. I know what a shooter is.
I'm going to tell you something, and you can take this to the bank. I'm going to say right here on this podcast. My son just turned 18. I've been raising kids for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And for the most part, by myself.
Yeah.
And up until the last few years. And they're great kids, but, you know, they're off.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are off doing their thing. Greg will be off to college. And old dad is going to start hunting. You know, it's a wonder I even have a buck on the wall.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got a bunch of them.
But it's just, I'm just saying old dad's going to start hunting.
Yeah.
For some bigger bucks. I have some really good spots in Ohio. I'm going to go to Kansas with you all.
Yeah.
And Kentucky, I feel pretty confident if I can find one.
Yeah.
And this is my challenge for myself in the position I'm going to be in now.
Yeah.
You know, my health is there and stuff. So I just want to challenge myself. And I told you what I want. I'd like to at least kill, you know, $5 by the time I'm 55, five more over 160.
Yeah.
That might not seem like a lot to some of y'all, but to some of y'all, that might seem unrealistic.
Yeah.
But, that's my goal for me.
Well, it's just like everyone. I mean, some of those guys that are killing the 6 points, they challenge yourself to go out and hunt and kill a buck.
Yeah.
They don't say I need a 160. You know what I mean? But that for you, that's your goal.
That's my goal now.
So, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. You've built yourself up. You've killed, you know, some great deer. And that's what you've done now. You just built yourself. You said, that's what I want my goal to be. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
And we talk about the division, but it does go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you also see a lot of the people that are not at that level, maybe never will be at that level, of shooting the bigger bucks right now. And I'll see them knock people that go out there and work their tail off. And believe me, if you're going to kill a good buck every season, it's not easy.
It's not. It's a grind.
And I'm not talking about killing just a 160 or 170. I'm talking about you want to kill a Pope and Young class buck every season. It's not easy. So when these guys do that, and people also jump on theirs and say, well, you can't eat the horns.
Yeah.
Well, that's bull crap, too.
I mean,
that's the part of the division that we have going on here.
When you talk about what it takes to kill big deer, I mean, I was off work from November 2nd until the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't kill a big deer. And hunted two states in Kansas and hunted Ohio. And I hunted basically at least every morning or evening, but maybe two or three of those days.
And
I mean, never had any. Well, I mean, I had a couple encounters in Kansas, but in Ohio, I still haven't seen a shooter in Ohio. That's, I mean, closer than 100 yards. I've seen a couple far away, but I mean, it's not, there's no secret formula or there's no secret. It's just
work.
Get out there and sit down in the stand and wait.
And it's patient. Me and Patient, as you all know, that do hunt for the bigger bucks. You know, like Nick, he may sacrifice a tag this year to get that buck. And that's just part of it. If you want to get, I mean, you're looking for something that you want to put on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no magic number that you're looking for. It's just something that you see and that's, you know, that you want to put on the wall.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to eat a tag for you all that's thinking about stepping it up and starting to shoot bigger bucks. Now, that's part of it. It ain't easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally different than going out and shooting a basket rack. Now, there's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, as the season goes on, I mean, my standards do start dropping. Like, I mean, I might be on a one, you know, this year I was on a world-class deer, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would think that I haven't seen him, haven't had a picture, nothing, but I'm going to guess.
From what I've seen.
Just from the past years, I mean, I'm going to say he's a world-class deer.
He's a world-class
deer. And he's been a no-show, and I don't know that he's even going to show back up.
Yeah.
For basically 2 years now, he's been a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't sit around and think, well, is that deer going to come by? Is that deer going to come by? I got to move on and go. I mean, if I won right at this point, I mean, and honestly, I mean, all season long, if 130, 135 inch deer come by me, I'm still sticking because I ain't got anything much better than that right now on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, at Ohio during the rut, you might have.
You never know.
You never know what you're going to see.
Yeah.
But at this point right now, we're kind of you're basically the rut's over. It's gun season. I mean, you're basically, I'm just going to start feeding them again and see what shows up and hunt out until the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, but if 130 inch deer is there, I'm going to hunt him hard until either I kill him or the season ends.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point where I'm at right now.
When y'all see these guys consistently killing these bigger deer, that's what you go through.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I don't know. I've talked to a few people. You know, I love talking to people about this kind of stuff. And and some people get a little frustrated because you're trying so hard and it means so much. But, you know, it's not a given every season.
No, it's not. I mean,
and when I was a little younger and when I killed those smaller bucks, I showed you pictures of, enjoyed them all. And then I started killing some bigger bucks. So I killed a couple big bucks. And then when I killed those, I was still in my early 20s, if I was even 20 yet, the early 20s. And now everybody, even back in with that social media, you're the best hunter around, you know. Well, that ego.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the evolution of a hunter, really.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, like a lot of people I see now, thinking that way, I was young, just like they are. And I was thinking, you know, I have to. My God, I got to kill big buck. You know, I wasn't even hunting for the right reason anymore.
That pressure makes hunting miserable.
So I put pressure on myself, and it was just unbearable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just being a kid or someone trying to prove themselves, like most of the people we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to prove themselves. It's just hunting. Just enjoy it. And I've learned, you know, of course, I'm older. You know, right now I'm getting a plan for next year. That's what it means to me.
Yeah.
We're crazy about it. Not everybody. Oh, yeah. Some people just go gun hunting and shoot whatever, and that's good. But, cause we need them.
Yeah.
We need those people.
Yep.
And, but for you guys that are a little bit more hardcore, speaking you all, that may be getting a little frustrated. You might still be holding your tags right now. Nick's still holding his tag. The way to go about it is you have to have a plan for the first week, the next week, and so on.
Yep.
And all you can do is continue to put yourself in the best position possible to kill a big buck and hunt it.
Yeah.
And hunt those times. And I know you have.
And have plans A, B, C, and D.
And you have to have those plans. You're always, you know, the season's changing all year long, as you know. Right now it's changed again.
Yeah.
You know, from the rut to now you're getting it. You might get some post rut, but it's just so unpredictable.
Yeah.
You're going to be leaning back to the food sources, but always putting yourself in position and be satisfied with that.
Oh, yeah.
And if one comes through, if it doesn't, there's no sense getting pissed off about it or frustrated.
There have been times this year I've been frustrated. I mean, it's just,
it's
just the nature of the beast because
it is.
You're like, I'm putting in all this time. I could be spending time at home with my family. I could be spending time.
It'll wear you down.
Mentally. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta be mentally tough if you're gonna hunt deer. If you're gonna hunt big deer,
you have to be mentally tough. You really do. And, we'll get off this crap because, you know, and I'm telling you, because, you know, I'm one of them knee jerk reaction guys. I see someone Like yeah. I said, you could have 500 nice comments in the, and you'll have one ding dong get on there and I'll be pissed off.
There's always that one guy. There's always that one guy.
You know, I'd asked the guy earlier, he was talking about it on, he was giving someone hell over killing small deer. And I just asked him, you know, I said, I just want to know why your ego is so big you can't pat this person on the back.
No.
I said, when you're not even killing big deer yourself.
Yeah.
I kill big deer. I said, well, let me see a picture of your biggest deer. I said, post on here for all to see it. Well, he deleted me and blocked everything.
Imagine that, right?
He's just being a dickhead.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but I think we've already talked about not understanding those guys.
Oh, gosh. You ain't going to do that. So you all don't be sissies and share the picture of your deer, and we'll all celebrate. Yeah. Some ding-dong gets on there, just delete him. You can remove his comment. Ain't no big deal.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't even.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
I learned a long time ago that I hadn't even posted any deer on Facebook. I posted a doe the other day that I killed a couple days ago. That's the first deer I posted on Facebook.
And you had all kind of great comments.
Yeah. That's probably the first deer I posted in, golly, a long time.
Well, and social media is good to promote our sport.
Yeah.
I mean, like that doe right there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people know that you.
Oh yeah,
well, hunt bucks, and they see you shoot that doe. You know, there's, believe it or not, there's people out there that wouldn't share their picture of their doe.
Oh, I will every day. I love it. Okay. I mean, I don't care.
My goodness, but it's hunting. You love the sport and have a passion for hunting.
Oh yeah,
not for inches.
Yeah, I'm just sharing it with my buddies.
That's just the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I almost do share those pictures, just because I want people to see that. Not that I'm anybody. I mean, I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm nobody when it comes to the hunting industry.
Listen, the younger people around here or new hunters know that you kill bigger bucks.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
I had some guys, I mean, for years, I would always kill. I mean, I had several years in a row where I didn't have to go gun hunting. I always killed a buck during buck season. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I just didn't gun hunt. And when I do gun hunt, I don't do the big deer drives and the big big get-togethers and all that.
Yeah.
If I were gun hunting, I gun hunt the same way I bow hunt. Generally, sure. I have the same stands, and it's a 20-yard shot. I could have killed it with my bow.
Yeah.
So that doe the other night, I did kill with a bow during gun season.
Yeah. You know?
But I don't remember what I was even going on about this, but a lot of guys, they're like, well, you going to gun hunt this year?
Hmm.
Well, hell yeah, I'm going to gun hunt this year. I've still got a tag in my pocket. Yeah. Absolutely I am.
Well, yeah.
I can't believe you're going to gun hunt. What? Why?
Why?
Okay. I don't care. Listen. I'll knock it down just the same.
The buck that I want to put on the wall doesn't matter to me as long as I can put him up there legal.
Yeah, I've got.
I don't care how I use it.
I've got, seven or eight bucks mounted, and I got one of them on my wall that I've only got like, I think five of them in the living room. The rest of them are scattered throughout the house, but, one of them I have in there, it's like 100 and probably a high 130s, 9-point.
Yeah.
And, everybody's always like, oh, you got all these with a bow? I said, no, that one over there I killed with a gun.
Yeah.
But I killed it with my grandpa's handmade, Bill Large, muzzleloader.
Yeah.
That's a pretty special deer to me. Just,
that's what I'm saying.
But to tell me that deer's any different than anything he's got killed with a bow, I don't care.
Did you feel any different when you pulled the trigger?
Maybe a little better.
Yeah. It's challenging to actually, you know, some bow hunters out there don't gun hunt a lot. It's kind of challenging because, and I'll tell you why, because they don't shoot a gun a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't.
And there's some things that you have to do shooting the gun to be consistent. I mean, it's just like shooting a bow. If you don't shoot a gun a lot, it ain't like you just pull it out of the case and go out there and shoot dead nuts with one.
I know shooting that doe the other night, I thought, man, I drew back. It was when we had a lot of snow come in the other night, Tuesday, and I drew back on her, and I thought, man, I need to start shooting my bow some more, because I ain't, I've kind of neglected it. I've been hunting so hard.
What happens?
You know, I might pull it out, and I'll shoot one shot in the target and be like, okay, my sight's, I almost have to do that just mentally to be like, okay, my sight's still on. When you're hunting hard, I don't know about you, but when you're hunting hard, but the bow goes in the back, you know, the backseat of the truck, you're pulling it up the tree, banging it off the tree, off the ground. I'm like, mentally about once every two or three days, I got to shoot at least one arrow and be like, okay.
Just make sure it's on.
But I drew back in that doe and I was aiming and I was like, man, I'm like, usually I'm dead nuts, but my pen was floating around a little bit and I was like, I'm going to have to go practice a little more.
It's a lot of muscle memory.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Keeping your strength built
and
stuff. And of course, you're putting on more clothes as it gets colder.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to check as you put on more clothes, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as deer hunting goes, like I said, it's kind of in the fourth quarter right now.
It is. It's coming to a close.
I put that little meme up the other day. I don't know if you noticed where I said something about the gun hunters and praying for
them. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did you know that was Rocky and Mick in that church?
Oh, no. No, I didn't even notice that part of it.
I bet a lot of you don't even notice that.
No, I didn't even notice
that. If y'all's listening to this, well, anyways, over the Thanksgiving weekend there, I was just surfing through the channels, watched a little TV, and Rocky was on.
Oh, yeah.
And I turned it on at that scene right there where Mick's in the church trying to give Rocky that big old talk, yeah, you know, about fighting old Apollo Creed or whatever. And I was like, man, that's the same talk I need to give the guy that still have a tag.
You're telling me.
So oh, I screenshot that picture, and that's where I got that from.
No, I almost feel like right now, if you can get, I mean, our gun season just is getting ready to go. I mean, this, yeah, you know, we got the weekend, and then I think maybe we have the 2-day gun season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still do it or not.
I'm not sure. But
then we have the late muzzler season, which is terrible.
Well, I mean, a lot of the antlers falling off.
Well,
from what I hear.
Yeah. But one of the good things this year is you can't kill a doe on public land after gun season.
Oh, that'd be good.
So, because I think they said it was an outrageous number. I want to say in the 70% of all bucks killed after gun season on public land were all shed, or all does killed, antlerless deer,
yeah,
were all shed bucks.
Oh, that's not good.
So they, I mean, so this should really help, I mean, big time with that. Of course, you know, you got the guys that are shooting them and then just shoving antlers off because they're about to come off anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh, I've got my doe tag, I'll find another buck. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure you got plenty of that.
Yeah, that, so that's good. They have to have antlers.
Yeah, yeah.
That has to be buck.
Yeah. So I'm going to focus on my private, the pieces of private that I have them. I mean, I'm going to start feeding them again because that's just an effective way for me to,
yeah,
kill them late, well, season, and then focus on areas I find sheds in, you know, during, you know, once I start looking for sheds, because those are areas they spend time in the winter, you know, so I'm going to just focus on honeysuckle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just try to grind it out.
Back to the food. And, yeah. I mean, late season, I mean, I've killed some good bucks in the hall late, yeah, season.
Yeah.
Kyle, he got a shot last year.
I'll be honest, and probably I've never really hunted deer after gun season up until about maybe last year was the first time I've ever deer hunted after gun season.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think this one right here, it's still got the tag on it.
Yeah.
Back in the day, let's see, that's 2004.
Oh, yeah.
That's a January buck right there in 2004.
No kidding.
Yeah, but on food.
I killed one. He wasn't quite, I mean, he's not that big. He's probably 150-inch 9-point. I killed him on,
mm-hmm,
over corn in January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But used to, I mean, once gun season rolled in, if you hunt public land, I mean, yeah, gun hunters just, I mean, it used to, the deer were scarce after,
yeah,
you know, once gun season rolled through. So we never really, really hunted much after gun season.
Well, I think the weather got them this year.
Yeah.
Because looking at the numbers, I think it was half.
I think we were down, I think 8,000 kills this year.
And the, you know, I think it was the weather.
Yeah, I'm
I
sure.
Think, because I think a lot of people come out, you know, a lot of gun hunters, you know, it's their time of year.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only time they get to, yeah, hunt, a lot of them, and that's when they take their time to hunt. And I think a lot of them hunt Monday and Tuesday,
yeah,
and then hunt Saturday and Sunday. Well, Monday and Tuesday was terrible.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday was
Tuesday better. Was good.
Tuesday was good.
Yeah, Tuesday it snowed, so.
And then the rest of the week hasn't been that green.
Well, from,
and then tomorrow it's going to be 100% rain.
I think rest of the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, is it going to be rest of the weekend?
Yeah.
See, Sunday was nice, but now it's calling for rain on Sunday.
I think so, yeah.
Crap. I was wanting to go predator hunting.
Yeah. I might be wrong. You can check it.
So, yeah,
I've been known to be wrong, but.
It might be. But so, you know, and then, of course, I've seen a lot of people from Ohio, which you're from Ohio.
And, yeah.
They's blaming the out of state hunters for the numbers being low. I think it's the weather myself.
I mean, yeah, oh yeah, the weather. I mean, it poured the rain. Nobody's, you know, who?
Well,
you're going to cut the number of hunters in half, you know, but, or more.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going
to. Well, in the deer movement.
I didn't go.
And the rut,
yeah,
kind of petered out.
And a lot of guys, look how many people, we had a heck of a bow season this year. How
the rut was awesome.
I mean, that, and even that big cold front we had in October, a lot, yep, of deer got killed in that cold front.
Yep.
So you had less hunters in the woods. You ain't going to tell me you didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at overall numbers right now, I bet bow season's up. I bet bow season's way up.
Yeah.
Gun season's probably, the first day of gun season's probably going to be down.
Yeah.
But you're just not going to have as many gun kills because you had more bow. I would almost bet anything had more bow
tagged
kills.
Out. Yeah. A lot of people tagged out.
But, you know, they're going for that number. And, you know, just, if you really look into it, I bet it's going to even itself, yeah, out.
Now, in Kentucky gun season, I think, and I had the numbers, John Workman sent them to me, I think we had our second biggest harvest.
Was it second? I thought it was the first.
It might have been our first.
Yeah, 106,000, I think.
Yeah, you think about that.
That's unbelievable.
All them people with guns in Kentucky and no mass murderers.
100.
No nothing.
Yeah, could you imagine?
I mean, think about how safe that is. You understand why?
Yeah.
It was so safe.
106,000, though. I think Ohio usually kills about 40,000.
Yeah.
So.
And then, okay. The deer population, it seems to me like it was up over 800,000.
Really?
It seems.
In Kentucky?
In Kentucky.
Yeah, it might have been.
I'm not for sure. You all check on that on your own. But if you think about it, say it was 800,000. Take 100,000 in the gun season. I don't know how many total we end up taking in Kentucky this year. No. That's still leaving a lot of deer.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of deer.
They populate pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a lot of deer.
So, kind of goes back to why worry about somebody shooting a Bascarat buck.
Yeah.
It's not like it was back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I think they got a pretty good grip on it. You know, over here, I hope they're not, but I just don't notice the poaching like it used to be.
Yeah.
Back, of course, I live up here now. Back when I lived in the country,
yeah.
You would hear more.
I think that it's bad. I know a couple areas over here that it's pretty bad. The area I hunt
over here.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's bad. I know that for sure. Heck, I mean, yeah, it's bad.
Well, you want to bring something up about, cause I mentioned it on one of these episodes. I can't remember, but, and we don't have to talk about it. But you and I talked about them might want to, have the county officers kind of take over the game warden stuff. I mean, it's just something that you had heard.
I'd have to read up on it again, but I'd like to read up on it again before we
won't go no further.
I'll read up on it the next time I come on. I'll make sure. But yeah, because it's been about probably a year and a half ago since
that may be wiped off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it's already.
I know who I brought up. Jeremy Conley. He's a he came on. I don't know if you got a chance to listen.
Yeah,
to
I did.
But he's a officer in Hillsboro.
Yeah. Well, see, I think what they were actually wanting to do was take the money that we spend, but. I need to read up on it.
We'll read up on it because, you know, if we tell people we're just, it'll start a big fire.
It will, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah.
We just now got 900 followers.
Oh man, we're almost 1,000?
We're almost 1,000.
Well, what are we doing for 1,000?
We're going to throw a pizza party.
I was going to say the same thing.
We get up 2,000, we're going to, we'll be pros.
Yeah, basically, we can have start hashtagging things.
Listen, I want to have all the followers. We can. I want to get all the followers we can.
I do too.
All the hunters, outdoorsmen, we can get on here and just continue to share their stories, man.
And just
share everybody's stories. I mean, geez.
I'd love to have somebody, so one of these guys that are on the, you know, all these pro staff guys, I'd love to hear from them and hear their point of view.
Well, would like to, and we have, you know, even, Britton, you know, he's sponsored and Perry Bailey and them people.
There's a bottom level, a middle level, and a top level. I put those guys more towards, those guys are professional about what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Well, you're talking about platform.
I'm talking about the guys that have killed five spikes and a Bascarat 8-point.
Oh, those types.
And they've got 18 pro staffs labeled, but they want to tell you that you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. Now, Britton or Perry.
Them guys are big buck hunters.
If those guys tell me something, I'm like, okay, let me check it out because they know what they're talking about.
But you know what? And you know, I'm talking about, and I talked to Perry, and we kind of had this conversation and, you know, we brought it up before and Perry, you know, take what's there. But in Virginia, we was talking about, there's not a lot of big bucks.
Oh, yeah. Real.
And the reason being is it is because of management.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's because of management.
Yeah.
And here's what's going on. And this, from what I could, you know, just not speaking for Perry, but I felt like it kind of, he was just saying, being honest about it. So, in these states, and I want to mention this. In our state, you know, we just have a one buck tag.
Yeah.
So it's if someone kills a smaller buck, it isn't really no big deal.
Yeah.
You take down there where Perry hunts in Virginia, and they have three buck tags. Now I can see where somebody starts swapping out three basket racks.
Yep.
or, you know, good for them if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But now I can see where that, well, it is going to be just, hard to have a bigger.
That's just the DNR mismanagement.
But that's not on the people.
Yeah, that's the DNR.
That's not on the hunter.
Yeah.
That's on the DNR.
That's
right.
Mismanagement of the, of, you know.
I mean, I don't know their numbers or whatever, but it can't be that much different than ours, can it? I mean, we got a pretty strong herd.
It's, there's so many things that influence, you know, the DNR.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear a lot of things about the auto industry, you know, that influences deer numbers. Yeah. The auto insurance, you know, it, whether they do or not, I don't know. But, I mean, it's, this mismanaged, this, Ohio's been mismanaged for years now.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, it has.
I agree.
And it's been on the decline. I mean, I don't, people that, I got some guys coming here from Georgia. They've been coming here, I think he said 7 years now. And he said he's progressively seen how bad it's getting.
Yeah.
You know, well, he said this year it's kind of, he said this year was the worst year that he's ever had coming to Ohio.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling people not to come here because, yeah, I mean, there's big deer here and there's plenty of deer, but they're in pockets. I got some farms I can go to and see 20 deer, but our public land's so mismanaged that it's almost not worth hunting to me anymore.
I'm telling you, that's another thing. It's hurting our sport, man, is the management. You know, over here, of course, Lance was on here the last episode talking about muskie fishing. We've had Dave French on here talking about it, and you know, I don't think they're real happy how they manage the muskie.
I need to get in tight with Dave French because he hunts Kansas. He muskie fishes. He traps.
Kills big ass. He kills big beavers.
I've seen that picture. Yeah.
I don't know what that damn beaver's gonna score, but that's a big son of a gun.
Yeah.
Right
the whole time I was in Kansas, me and him kind of we talked back and forth, just kind of, you know.
Well, and you know, Dave's a big advocate on managing.
Yeah.
Shooting bigger bucks. I mean, you know, but it's not that he's trying to be a prick or anything. He just wants to educate people, and you know, when we come off talking about this kind of stuff, I'm sure some of them guys feel like we're trying to attack them. And like I said, it ain't at all. It's just we got to all work together seriously, promote our sport, bring each other together. Well, moving forward, we only went on that crap for 50 minutes.
50 minutes?
That's it.
Oh, man.
My God.
You think anybody will make it through all the way to the end?
No.
You think anybody will make it through
that?
They
repeated themselves 15 times.
I kind of feel like during that whole thing that I was trying to – not single anybody out. I mean, because everybody wants something different out of what we're doing. You know,
everyone wants something different.
Yeah,
we just got to stick together.
We just got to understand.
And I'm not saying, you know, if you see somebody with a basket rack, but you know, you don't have to like the picture or even congratulate them. You know, you just can move on.
It's so easy to scroll through. Just
move on.
Who cares?
You shoot them little scrubby old deer anyway.
Yeah. Could you imagine? But you still, I mean, we just talked about managing the lands and the mismanagement Ohio's had on our public lands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there that's disagreeing with me, but anybody that hunts public lands a lot in our area understands how overpopulated. And if you don't understand it, go on and watch the Hunting Public and watch their Ohio episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you watched those yet?
I haven't had a chance.
Go and watch. And, I mean, it's guy after guy after guy after guy walking in on them, walking around them, and the
we know that from our own experience.
Yeah, but we have to. Ohio has to do something about controlling the number of hunters we have on public lands.
Yeah,
because Wayne National Forest is 60,000 acres, but if you got every single, you know, if you got
a lot of states,
yeah, you got a lot. I mean, it's
You know where I hunt.
Oh yeah,
and there was people from Vermont, New Jersey, and I mean nothing, you know. But I'm just talking about they was all.
I hunt out of state every year.
Yeah.
But I hunt Wyoming. That takes me 3 years to draw that tag.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hunt Iowa. I've been putting in for it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I hunt Kansas. That's not 100% success draw on your tag.
Mm-hmm.
And even in Kansas, a new thing they've started, I think, has just only been going a couple of years. If you hunt their public land, you have to electronically check into their public land.
Yeah.
To let them know what you're doing, why you're hunting, if you're successful, what piece of public land you're hunting. You can't just go in there and walk in. And what that does is help them understand how much pressure that one piece of public land's getting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got every hunter in the world hunting that one piece of public land, and nobody's hunting this piece up here because there's no cities near it or whatever reason.
They're real serious about managing their land.
And that's the way Ohio needs to get.
Well, I think we're behind.
I mean, here. Kansas has probably 15, 20 units.
Yeah.
Meaning they break their state down into 15, 20. Ohio has 3, I think, maybe 4.
Well,
I mean, it needs to be micromanaged. It doesn't need to be.
It needs to be managed, and because, you know, beyond the public land, you get a lot of people from out of state. I'm not knocking nobody.
Yeah.
The bigger tracts of land right here in Kentucky, and this ain't even a great place to hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, we kill bigger bucks here because we lived here all the time. But
yeah.
Coming in and leasing the bigger tracts of land,
mm-hmm.
and it just, I don't know.
I know. I feel like every time I'm on here, I get on the soapbox about Ohio, but I just...
No, it's true. Well, the things that you just mentioned there, I've seen a lot of other Ohio hunters
yeah.
with the same concern.
I mean, we have such
a guy had said, we're number three. He said Kansas and Iowa's, or Iowa and Kansas, one and two. So this is just what this guy
yeah.
said. And he said, we're number three for a reason, because they manage their land
oh, yeah,
a
absolutely.
Lot better than we do, and they
yeah.
manage the amount of hunters
yep.
hunting their land.
That's the thing. Ohio has to cut down on the – and like I said, I'm an out-of-state hunter, and a lot of out-of-state hunt Kentucky, Kansas, Wyoming. I mean, I love traveling different places and hunting,
oh, yeah.
but all those places are managed. And I don't care to wait two or three years to hunt those places because they're so much better.
You just can't go flopping in there
yeah.
every year.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You got to wait your turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'd be, well, it's a free-for-all.
It is. I couldn't imagine Kyle, the other Kyle Gross, he was talking to him, and he said, I've never hunted Ohio's gun season. He said, you know, he's like, what's it like? I'm like, just get somewhere where somebody's going to run you some deer. And he's like, is it that bad? I said, if you've never experienced it, go over there and hunt. Go over and hunt Ohio public
yeah.
land. Gun season.
I've experienced
it's it. A different, it's like,
well, like I said, it's people that don't, this is their 1 week of hunting.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep.
And honestly, they hunt it like they rabbit hunt.
Well, yes,
so
exactly.
A lot of the gun hunters, I'm not knocking that. That's what you want to do. But for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in that.
Yeah. Oh, that's almost, people act like it's crazy I don't gun hunt, but I don't want to deal with all that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, private land, my buddy was sitting in his blind, first morning of gun season, cracking daylight. Somebody dropped a guy off, walked all the way through his property, pushing a holler down
yeah.
to another piece of private. Walked right in front of him. My buddy said, hey, you know, hey, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Guy threw his hand up, kept on going, sat right in front of him for about 20 minutes, and just kept on heading down the holler.
He'd have got his name, we'd have bashed him on
trust
Facebook.
Me, that's what I asked him. I was like, man, why in the world didn't you say? He's like, well, he had a gun and I had a muzzleloader.
Yeah.
He said he had a shotgun and I had a muzzleloader. I was like, well, I guess I understand, but.
Hey, I've had limbs, you know, when I was young with my grandpa.
No.
I've had limbs shot out of,
oh,
out of the tree.
Hunting on the, yeah.
Where they was on deer drives.
Yep. I was on the same. I've done the same thing. I've had them whizzing through the trees and I said, I'm tapped out on Ohio gun season.
And I will tell you. And I'm not just picking on one group. I'm not just picking on the gun hunters.
Yeah.
But I'm on for the guys that jump these deer and shoot them in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I'll guarantee you, if I go over there Monday and walk up public land,
yep.
I'll find four or five deer that's been shot in the ass.
Or you'll find the one that's been heart shot and it's not what they wanted, so it's still laying there. Those are my favorite.
Listen. Well, people that do that don't listen to this podcast
yeah.
because people that listen to this just have passion
yeah.
for the outdoors.
Yeah.
And that's why they're even listening. But you all that are listening, you know, you've seen this, I'm sure. That pisses you off.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any more disrespect to our sport, to those animals?
Just to shoot it and leave it lie, yeah.
And those are not hunters.
Yeah.
We don't need those people in our sport. I know people get excited and make bad shots. That is one thing about a bow hunter. I think it teaches people the patience to be an ethical,
yeah.
more ethical hunter. Not that gun hunters are not. Alan
yeah.
Grubb gun hunts a lot now. His shoulders are bad.
Yeah.
I've gun hunted. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about those guys that when you jump a deer and just shoot
start
unloading on it.
Last year, I don't know how much more time we got on here. I got a quick story. But
yeah, go ahead. We can talk all we want.
Okay.
I got it fixed up now.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, last year during youth gun season. Which, you know, it was probably a kid that done it, or it was probably a kid that done it, but I had a buck that I'd passed two or three times,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, he was going to be a dandy this coming year. I mean, he was a mainframe 9-point, had split brows, 130-inch deer last year. Biggest deer I've ever passed, you know, and said I'm going to just pass him. Hell, he walked underneath of me three or four times one morning. So I'm sitting, I got in the blind, sat down, zipped it down. Soon as I sat down, I looked up, and here comes that buck running at me. Beds down in front of me, and I'm like, what in the world? Throw binoculars up, and somebody shot his whole hind quarter out. I mean, it was just a giant hole.
Well, on that drive, on these drives,
yeah.
jump them up and just shoot them.
And that spot right, that where that's at is surrounded by public land, and it gets from the first day of gun season until the last, it gets drove daily. It gets drove three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what gun season it is, it's gonna get drove three times a day.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it pushes them deer onto us, so it helps us. You know, these guys are out there driving the same piece of property every day, and it pushes the deer to us. Well, they just happen to shoot that one, and
yeah,
you know, if it was a kid and it was an accident, okay, but. Regardless, a deer with its hindquarter blew out, ran from
him. I will tell you this. This is me. If I catch my son taking a shot at a deer that's running,
yeah,
we're going to have a serious talk. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, what's your chances of that?
And I've told Greg, you know, I told you when I took him youth hunting,
yeah,
we'd seen a 140-inch buck, and he had a shot.
Yeah.
If he just wanted to shoot
a deer. If he's going to throw Hail Mary at it, yeah.
And, you know, I don't have to tell him.
No. Yeah.
To take that shot. It's going to be an ethical shot. He ain't taking it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've known that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, I've made bad shots and I've wounded deer.
I've made you both.
But yeah. Making a bad shot and taking a bad shot is two different things.
Yeah.
It's a totally different story right
now. The other night when I shot that doe, I mean, I shot her right through the front shoulders. And I mean, I definitely wasn't planning on doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. I mean, she's 18 yards and I don't know how I done it, but I hit her right through the shoulders.
Like I said, making a bad shot and taking a bad shot.
Yeah.
You don't have to take a bad shot.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And okay, we pissed off about anything else?
Let's think. I'll get in the truck and I'll think, man, I should have pissed off these people.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, you know, when we talk about a lot of this stuff, a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
But I don't think people feel like they could ever say anything.
Yeah.
Man, we're all hunters. We got to stick up for each other. Yeah. The division's got to go.
Right.
And the peons that like to run their mouth about stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Well, just call them out.
They're the
just
same
call
people.
Them out.
They're the same people that are unhappy with everything.
You know.
They're
unhappy with.
They're unhappy
their
with
love
everything.
Life.
And it doesn't matter what it is. They're gonna be.
They got little deer.
I didn't think he was gonna say deer.
Yeah.
I got little deer. I was like, oh, yeah.
You thought I was going there.
Yeah. It's like, well, they might have that too.
I caught myself. But that's usually the people.
Yeah.
I can't brag about that either, but at least I'm not a ding dong. Yeah. Well, you know, for me, moving forward here, rest of winter, I'm going to be predator hunting. I just got into that.
Yeah.
Have you done it much?
Don't know. I've done it maybe three or four times, never had. I've never even heard one. Never heard a coyote, nothing.
Oh, my gosh. So we have to go. You got your Kentucky hunting license.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, still got a deer tag with it.
Now, I think all of us have shot a coyote while we deer hunting
yeah.
with a bow or gun or what when we's out. If you see one, you shoot it, you know. And I've killed them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just if you see a coyote, you shoot it.
Yeah.
But last year, of course, you got Jeremy Gillum and Denny Ray Conley around here. You know, they love to hunt.
Oh, really?
They have a passion for it. And then.
Yeah.
I wanted to take that up.
Yeah.
Do it, you know, during my dead time. I could scout while I'm out there during the winter. And,
well, it gives you access to, I mean, it's a little bit of a secret. I don't know if I'm going to give that away or not, but it gives you access to some property that they're going to say no to deer hunting and say yes to coyote hunting.
Yeah, because everybody wants to get rid of the coyotes.
You get in there, you get in there and start talking to them about this, that, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, well, yeah, you can go ahead and bow hunt this place. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, and we need people coyote hunting too, because they're just, running rampant.
I don't know if, I mean, we can get into that. It's a long drawn out process, but, there's a book on coyotes and just the history of them.
Yeah.
And basically, I mean, we're never going to put a dent in the population of coyotes.
No.
It can't happen. I mean,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, we don't hunt them like
we were
deer in the first place.
We successful. The trapping days, we successfully killed all the wolves.
Yeah.
And anything else, but we couldn't successfully kill all the coyotes.
Listen, and anybody's gonna put a little dent in them at all, it's gonna be a trapper.
Yeah.
Us that's just going out hunting them.
Yeah.
We're not, listen.
I can't remember what the name of that book is, but man, it's, you talk about interesting.
I'd like to read that.
Yeah. I'll have to try to figure out what it is. Like, so Steve Rinella, he had the guy on his podcast a couple times, but man, it's interesting. I just can't think of the name of it is.
Well, you know, when I went out and actually called them, and well, you know, our guest there Monday, John Collins, like I was telling you before, would be on. He's pretty big deal in the predator world. And, I'd watch his YouTube, I can't remember what it's called. I better figure that out before I bring him on.
Yeah, must put that down in your notes.
Tooth claw or something like that. But anyways, I'd watch his stuff and talk to Jeremy and Denny Ray. I'm getting a dry mouth myself now. I should have brought some water down for us. But I end up calling some in, and I tell you what, it got in my blood.
Really? I'm going to have to go with you,
so. And they're so smart, and their nose is better than a deer.
Really?
In my opinion. And they're going to come in downwind. They're smart. But anyways, we'll get into that. And since I'm choking to death here, I think we'll get off here.
Yeah, I would like to. I mean, the times I've went, it's like we just haven't heard anything or seen anything, and I'm like,
yeah.
I just feel like I feel like it's turkey season all over again.
Well, we'll get in it, and it's a blast for any of y'all that haven't done it. Like I said, we'll have John Collins on next week. We're going to have Heath Baker and Greg Gallagher. All these guys are big time predators. Right? Okay. I mean, see them on Facebook. They all have hunting shows. And
that's part of the hunting industry I've never followed as a predator. Oh, so.
It's coming on big time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People love it. People do love it.
Anyways, we'll pump them guys for some info, and because I have a lot of questions for myself, so hopefully help you all out. So pay attention for all that. And we had about a million other things we was going to talk about, but we just got to go in the direction we went. That's the way it is. So thanks, Nick, man. Good luck to you. And I want to tell you, Nick, you and Kyle had your hands on more big bucks than anybody in this country this year.
Yeah, because it seems like it.
You've helped, I don't know how many people go drag their deer out, and that's what being a hunter's all about.
Oh, I love it.
Whether,
I'm mad if one of my buddies kills a deer and I don't get to go out and help drag it or get the help track it, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, well, what's up with that?
I mean, and you've been there to help, I don't know how many people drag their deer out this probably, year. I mean, starting out with Cody.
Yeah, probably 7 or 8. I'd say 8 or 9.
Several been right in on the hunt. Your brother, out in Kansas.
So I wish I wasn't in on that one.
Yeah. He's a hoss, wasn't
he? Oh, man.
He's a hoss cat.
Just
so,
flat ground as far as you can see. And, it was.
You ain't going to find his brother's deer on Facebook because he don't do that crap.
No, he don't. Heck no, he doesn't. He don't do anything. We need to get him over here.
Do you think will he come on?
Yeah, he'll come on. He'd come on. He works so much out of town.
Well, we'll get him over and, good luck to y'all trying to fill your tags. Y'all over gun hunting. I think gun season's in about everywhere now with Kentucky. So, everybody be safe and, don't be shooting no damn deer in the ass for crying out loud while it's running away from you.
Yeah, I don't want to be finding no skulls once I start sit hunting.
Oh, crap. Good luck, y'all. We'll talk at you later. Nick Basil, Rob Michon.